Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From newsounds.org, this is the Soundcheck Podcast. Here at newsounds.org, we've been taking the opportunity, while our performance studio is closed, to look through our archives for some memorable performances from years past. Here's one of them.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. You don't have to be a classical music fan to know something about Simona Dinnerstein's story. Soundcheck listeners first met her in 2007 when her self-produced album of the Goldberg Variations by Bach became a surprise bestseller. Since then, she's recorded and toured with singer-songwriter Tift Merritt, signed to a major record label, hit the Billboard pop music chart with a later album of Bach, and created a series of concerts for and in New York City public schools. Her latest album features Bach again, but this time a somewhat overlooked part of Bach's music. Here is Simona Dinnerstein at our piano to play Bach's Invention in E Major live on Soundcheck. Music by Bach, live at our piano. That's Simona Dinnerstein at our piano in the Soundcheck studio with the Bach Invention No. 6 in E major from Simona's most recent recording of Bach Inventions and Sinfonias. Simona, welcome back to Soundcheck. I don't know why I'm having so much trouble saying your name today.
That's okay.
Good to see you again.
Nice to see you too.
So you've now done 5 solo CDs, and Bach appears on all of them. Apart from the whole towering genius of Western civilization thing, why do you keep coming back to Bach?
Bach is my favorite composer, so that's the first thing. I mean, I think you should play the music that you love.
Mm-hmm.
Even though Bach is on all of them, there are other composers too, so it's not like I'm ignoring.
Right.
But I think
including
that
some contemporary composers.
Yes, yeah. And I guess I feel that there's just so much to learn from his music. It's never ending, you know.
Well, interesting you should use the word learn, because the inventions, the piece mm-hmm. you just played among them, these are often consigned to schoolwork. They're like training exercises, or at least that's how people think of them.
Yeah, well, Bach wrote them to teach his students, some of his children and his students, how to play using 2 voices in the case of the inventions and 3 voices in the case of the sinfonias. And this is something that's quite interesting, that he wrote this set as almost a musical essay. Hmm. You know, it's like almost like a treatise on how to play. But instead of writing it with words, he writes it with music.
Mm-hmm.
But because he was such an incredible genius of a composer, these are exquisite pieces of music.
So when you say they're in 2 voices, the right hand and the left hand are independent parts?
Exactly. And I use the word voice. Sometimes people use the word line. But voice, I think, is a nice way to think about it because they are so vocal. And in fact, one of the things that he wrote in the preface to the Inventions and Sinfonias was that he wanted people to learn how to play in a cantabile style, which means
singing.
In a singing style,
yeah.
Which is particularly interesting if you think about the fact that they would have been playing these on a harpsichord. So how do you play in a singing style on a harpsichord? It's quite different than a piano, which
yeah.
I think is more naturally singing.
Yeah. So this would have been, as you say, written for his kids, his students. So how do kids react? Do you bring these pieces into the schools when you do your Bach packing to school program?
Yes, I've been mainly concentrating on this when I've gone to schools. And I think kids find it really interesting because at first I play one of the really fast ones for them, which kind of grabs them.
Right.
But I think that what's happening is that they're at first hearing just music. And then I try to take it apart for them because I don't even think that they're hearing that there are 2 voices. Mm-hmm. It just sounds like a glob of music, you know? And actually, I think it's hard for many people to hear the 2 voices. And that's one of the challenges also as the pianist is to hear them and for each one to have a different character.
And for each one to be singing
right.
at the same time.
Yeah.
It would have been difficult on a harpsichord. It's still a challenge on a piano. But when you're in the schools, how do you do that? You can't bring your instrument with you. Are you bringing a keyboard?
I am bringing a keyboard. I've actually been very lucky that Yamaha has been helping me out with this. So they delivered keyboards all over New York and also Washington, D.C.
Hmm.
And I'm trying to do this wherever I go. So I'm also – some schools have uprights.
Right.
I'm happy to do that. I just played at a school in Boulder when I was out there on their kind of sort of beaten up upright. The idea that I had for Bach packing was, you know, to go into a classroom as opposed to playing in a huge auditorium. I think it's much more powerful for mm-hmm. children to be up close, and then I can engage with them more.
Yeah. And for many kids, it's probably their first experience of live music.
Yes.
You know, and especially up close and personal like
right.
that. So do you tend to go back to a lot of the same schools here in New York so that, you know, you avoid the sort of drive-by, here's your music, I'm mm-hmm. out of here kind of thing?
Well, for this series of concerts, the Bach packing ones, I did something where I went to different schools in January. And then last week, I think it was, I did a concert for all of those children at the Miller Theater during the day. They all came. And that was great because they'd already met me and So it was kind of an interesting follow-up.
Right.
And I hope that I'll be able to go back to those schools.
So then they get to see you in a proper concert
right.
setting, and it introduces a lot of kids to the idea of
yeah.
concerts.
Yeah, like many of them had never been in a concert hall before.
Yeah. So the idea of playing this old music to young kids reminds me actually of something, as you know, I reviewed this album for E! Music, and I sort of went out on a limb and suggested that maybe your work with contemporary composers had colored the way you play Bach. This is your chance to tell me I'm full of it. Or, I mean, but you have played a lot of contemporary
yeah.
music, Nico Muhly, Philip Lasser,
uh-huh.
Danny Felsenfeld.
Yes.
Has that colored the way you approach older music?
Absolutely, yeah. I think
oh, good.
That, yes.
How so?
Well, I think in many ways what you wrote should be something that anybody would think about any interpretation. I mean, in the sense that every musician who's playing classical music today has played other contemporary music and listened to other music, you know?
You would hope. There are some classical musicians who I think probably never listened to anything past Brahms.
You think so?
You know, I just get that. Not from a lot of them, but
yeah,
there are
maybe
some.
Maybe there are some. I mean, I feel that everybody has been affected by Bach. Since Bach in Western music, and so you hear a reaction in their work, and then that reaction is brought back into your playing of Bach. You've heard it through the lens of the Romantics of Mendelssohn and Schumann and Brahms, and you know even back to Beethoven. You hear Bach filtered through, and then you hear it in jazz. You know, I mean, you listen to anyone, really, Brad Meldow or
sure.
Even Hank Jones, you know, you're going to hear chorales in there. And I think that those sounds infuse how you think about music and just the general freedom. I mean, we've kind of put Bach's music into a glass case.
Mm.
And it was living, breathing stuff, you know. He probably changed things as he went, you know, each time he did it. And now we're kind of fundamentalists when it comes to this music. And it's really, it's much more malleable than I think we give it credit for.
Right. So still a living, breathing thing mm-hmm. all these years, centuries later. We're speaking with Simona Dinnerstein. Her latest album is Bach Inventions and Sinfonias. Now, these inventions tend to be quite short. You want to put together a little set of them for us?
Yes, sure. I'll go play. You want me to tell you what I'm going to play?
Yeah. Well, tell us at least what you're going to start with.
I think I might change a little bit of what I said. I'm going to start with the G major one.
Okay. The Invention in G Major by Bach from his set of two-part inventions. And again, that means both the left hand and the right hand are sort of independent parts. And once you know that and can listen for it, it sort of changes your approach to these pieces. Here are three of Bach's inventions played live at Our Piano by Simona Dinnerstein on Soundcheck.
Thank you.
Once again, Simona Dinnerstein, live on Soundcheck, playing our piano and playing the music of Bach. We heard three of the inventions. That last one's the B-flat major,
B-flat,
right?
That's B-flat, yeah. A minor in the middle.
And the A minor in the middle, and the G major up top. So three more inventions, all of which are on Simona's latest album, The Bach Inventions and Sinfonias, for two and three parts, respectively. While you were playing, Christian McBride tweeted us, the jazz bassist.
Okay.
Say hello to my former next-door dorm neighbor, Simona Dinnerstein. So you guys were in dorm rooms, adjacent dorm rooms
or something? The West Side YMCA, back when we were first, our first year at Juilliard together. That's so nice that he remembers. I heard a lot of James Brown coming to the wall from him.
Now, how does that affect your approach to Bach?
Very, very much so.
Add a little, give the drummer some.
Yeah.
You know? So what kind of posters did you guys have up on the walls back then?
Well, I was very nerdy. I had lots of Renaissance art, really.
So no Bob Marley posters, no Rolling Stones.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, your dad and your uncle are both noted American painters.
That accounts for the Renaissance paintings.
Yeah, I guess so. And I guess I'm wondering, you know, whether that has given you a kind of different visual approach to concertizing and stuff, because you've done a couple of unusual things, like here in New York at LPR.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think more. I think my dad has been a huge influence on me as an artist. I mean, the way that he is an artist is very. He's extremely single-minded,
mm-hmm. And this is Simon Dinnerstein
this is Simon,
we're talking about.
My father, Simon. And so I think he's a lot to live up to for me. I mean, I think that he's very pure in his approach to art. But also we've had many conversations over the years about line, especially composition. He thinks a lot about that, and when he looks at art, he talks a lot about the line in it.
Yeah.
And I think that line in music is something that I think about a lot. And when I've reflected on it, I've thought, actually, maybe I think about it that much because of looking at art with my dad.
And especially with these pieces where you have the whole point is to get two lines singing.
Right.
Or three lines in the sinfonia.
But also, like, the feeling from the first note to the last note, that's one long line. And then within that, there are shorter lines, but they have to somehow all, you have to see the small, those details and the large picture at the same time.
The forest and the trees,
yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, going back to your first record, the Goldberg Variations, I think that's why so many of us responded to it, was that sense of line carrying us from the opening aria to the return of the aria an hour later.
Right.
Now,
thank you.
The Goldberg Variations are a sleep-related piece, and we are assembling answers from our various guests for a sleep project here at WNYC.
Wow.
So my question to you, Simona, is can you use music to get to sleep at night?
Well, first of all, I object to thinking that the Goldberg Variations were to put somebody to sleep.
Well, tell the story. What were they specifically for?
They were written for an insomniac,
right.
But I think that they were written to entertain him.
I can't see how
they could put him to sleep.
Yeah.
I think that probably there was no TV in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
What's he
going
to do, you know? So apparently he used to call in his court harpsichordist, who is Goldberg. That's the name of the harpsichordist. And Goldberg, apparently aged 14, if the story is true, would play Bach's variations for him and entertain him. In terms of music helping you go to sleep, I can't listen to music that is too interesting in order to help me go to sleep. But there is more sort of ambient kind of music that I find can be helpful.
Mm.
And
like what?
Well, I guess more sort of minimalist or I don't know if new age is the right word, but something that's more along the lines of like Arvo Pärt or something like that, I think is calming.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think listening personally to something that's familiar can be calming. for sleep as well. So I like to listen to the radio at night. When I'm on the road and I feel a little out of place, I happen to listen to WMYC because I like hearing people's voices. Like I'm quite happy when I catch new sounds or something like that.
I'm happy when you do that too.
But it's nice to hear a voice that you know and just music, somebody else selecting the music. It's good.
Well, the album of Inventions and Sinfonias is the latest album of the music of Bach by my guest, Simona Dinnerstein. Simona, it is always great to have you with us here on Soundcheck. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Been listening to an episode of the Soundcheck podcast from our archives. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. Our producer is Karen Havlick. I'm John Schaefer. You can see and hear much more on our website. Check it out at newsounds.org.